Hello and welcome to Aerial Evolution. I'm Jane.
And I'm Rowan. With us today on our season one finale is Italian vertical dance choreographer and researcher, Vonda Moretti. In 1990, she was the first dancer in Italy to have undertaken this particular art form and has grown it exponentially. In 1994, she and the musician Marco Castelli founded Il Posto in Venice, a large vertical dance training center. Vonda developed a specialist technique called vertical suspension training and creates performances in which space and movement merge in a single scene. Throughout her career, she has performed and taught at numerous festivals, national and international events. As a side passion, she conducts research on how structured space influences human movement and wrote a book about the history of vertical dance pathways.
If you like what you hear and want to join in on the discussion, find us on Instagram or Facebook at Aerial Evolution Pod. We would love to hear from you. And if you want more info on what was discussed, make sure to check out the links in the show notes.
So can you tell us how you originally got started in vertical dance?
First, I want to explain vertical dance for me. Vertical dance is a dance where dancer moves on a vertical plane. The body is perpendicular to the wall, suspended with a rope and wearing a harness. I was a pioneer of this discipline, and vertical dance was unknown in my time. Now this practice is becoming more well-known, thanks to the huge diffusion it has had in the last 10 years and to the dance companies that have brought their artistic creations on the buildings and the architectures all over the world. I started in the late 90s after regular studying contemporary dance. I wanted to find something very specific for me, my signature, my dance writing, like any dancer. I was attracted from unconventional forms of dance, and I was looking for something that no one else did. So I experimented and explored, and almost by chance, I found myself experiencing my movement perpendicular to the wall. One time with a Canadian visual artist that she was looking for a dancer to move inside her opera. It was a mat skirt, almost 3 meters high, and another time in a theatrical piece where he had to move on a rope net placed on the proscenium. So on those occasions, I had the first sensation to feel my body off the ground. And this is how my story and my research started. My vertical journey took place in a series of steps, from which I never returned. I mean that those experiences, I never danced on the ground again after this.
The desire to never dance on the ground again after experiencing vertical dance just brought me a little bit of delight. So thank you. When preparing for this conversation with you, we read about the history that you have written on vertical dance on your website and in your book, Vertical Dance Pathways. But can you talk a little bit more about the difference as you see it between aerial dance and vertical dance?
Aerial dance is a large area where we find many disciplines using different equipment, like silks, rings, hoops, Spanish rope, trapeze, etc. The aerial performance must hold on to their equipment, otherwise they might fall down. So the movement is therefore limited and focused in the same time. It is not possible to move completely freely. The equipment is used even in the vertical dance, and performers are not too busy to hold themselves. The dancer is totally free to move. This is the most important difference between disciplines and allows us to dissociate, separate vertical dance from the great area of aerial dance. So to practice vertical dance, it is not necessary to hold yourself up because the harness holds you. The body is totally free, and the result is that there are no limitations of movement. The difference is very clear in my opinion. I hope I have managed to clarify this point, which seems to be an important issue in the debate.
Yeah, that's a really great distinction between the two. And I haven't heard it before, and that really clarified it in my mind. Do you see a difference in the types of people that gravitate towards one or the other?
Often in aerial dance, the practitioners come from gymnastics, but it is not a rule. As I said, they are accustomed to all their equipment during practice, and they are trained to use different kinds of equipment. This is a very direct doorway for aerial dance. Mm-hmm. In vertical dance, the majority of practitioners have a contemporary dance background. And again, this is not a rule. Sometimes we have people with a background in a circus arts, physical theater, climbing. In any case, all these performers must have a high level of training and continuous training throughout their careers and education.
Do you see a crossover between the two? So are there people who do both?
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes.
And then what kind of training needs to be done as a vertical dancer?
The vertical dancers, as I mentioned before, comes from different backgrounds. So I think that it is necessary to have different kinds of training. During the years, I developed a method to improve the capacity of the body and help the body to reorientate to a different planes. When we are standing on the ground, we are naturally oriented and we know right from left, up from down. One of the problems, especially for professionals, because they have strong body conditioning, is changing their orientation. Mm. In the perpendicular position, it is not possible to recognize right, left, or up and down. The orientation is totally different, and the system of our thinking and knowledge is invested in a new way of movement and a new way of learning. So a single type of training is not enough these days. The technical level reached by this generation of dancers is very high. Of course, a dance background is an excellent prerequisite. And this kind of dancer must exert themselves with intensive effort. For example, it is not possible to stay in the harness for many hours. Mm. So there are two pivotal aspects for training. The first is theoretical and involves being prepared for safety and to know how to rescue somebody at 8 on the wall. It is an aspect that can easily be forgotten, too easily. Sometimes dancers can be 30 to 50 meters off the ground, and it is essential that they know what to do if something goes wrong. Safety training for vertical dance is really important. It is very important to be able to perform a rescue very quickly as a person who bumps their heads and is unconscious at 8 could die after 15 minutes if not rescued in time due to the harness restricting the arteries.
Wow.
This is called inert suspension syndrome. Another point of the training is the approach to body conditioning for vertical dance should happen in a progressive way in order to build strength and to prevent vertigo. Hmm. We have to have a functional training because the force of gravity influences the body and we have to learn the best movements and adaptation, the position to the wall. A wrong body position could have an advertised effect on the body, could be very harmful to the artist themselves.
The safety that you mentioned, yeah. Is that something that the artist themselves, a training that they do, or is that another team?
Another team, absolutely, because it's a very different way about the material to learn. Is physics, is different equipment, instruments, tools, and also some maneuvers. Mm-hmm. You have to know exactly which kind of maneuvers you have to do, how to move a body with problems, and where hang another body to your body.
Yeah.
The subject is very different.
Sure.
And I think that the dancer who do vertical dance must have a safety training. We have in Europe, there is a law just for worker, not for dancers, not for artists. But my dancers, they have done this kind of program. They are certificate for this. Mm.
It reminds me of rock climbing, where there's a person who's on a wall and then there's the person who's manipulating the rope and doing some of the lowering and lifting. Am I interpreting that correctly with vertical dance?
Not exactly. We have two different situations. In Europe, vertical dance developed close to the climbing field, and especially for the free climbing, because they used to move alone. In USA, vertical dance, it was close to the visual artists. Mm. If you think about Trisha Brown, Trisha Brown worked a lot with many different languages, music, theater, painters, and different artists. And so we arrived from two different history. Now we are arrived together at the same point, but the beginning was very different between two countries.
Mm, interesting.
On your website, you talk about how walking on the moon inspired vertical dance in the 1960s. Can you explain that history and how it developed from there?
This is a very beautiful discovery. I was studying the origin of vertical dance for more than 10 years, and I wanted to go in depth. So I started to follow, of course, Trisha Brown. And Trisha Brown is a famous choreographer, one of the founders of the Judson Dance Theater and the postmodern dance movement. She was the seminal artist and mother of vertical dance. She created the performance titled A Man Walking Down the Side of a Building. This was the first performance of vertical dance in the 70s in New York. From that moment, I tried to understand where this practice comes from. I visited many archives, I study a lot, and I could link the early works of Trisha Brown, the equipment pieces performed from 68 and 1974, with the training of astronauts on Earth. Multiple documents in the NASA archive, I talked with Trisha Brown Foundation and also with the NASA archives, and multiple documents in the NASA archive explain that in the perpendicular position, we can reduce the weight of the body to 1/6. And this is the same weight that the astronauts will have when they are on the moon.
Oh, interesting.
The American astronauts prepared themselves for the moon landing by practicing this specific technique to move in microgravity and developed it in 4 years before the space launch. This technique is similar to vertical dance, but with a different type of harness and gravity. I think Trisha Brown was inspired by this kind of movement, and she lived the years of New York experimentation in the same years in which the conquest of space was one of the great challenges between Russia and the United States. We don't want if she visited the astronaut training center in Virginia. But this is not so important. What matters is the beauty and intelligence of her creations and absolutely her legacy.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You mentioned when we first got on that you live in Venice, which is sinking. And so I'm wondering if there is any kind of connection between your interest in gravity and this play on weight and suspension with where you live.
Oh, it's beautiful, this question, but it's very, very difficult. I will try, but I'm not sure to be able to answer, but I want to try because it is in my blood, this. And Venice is like a gravity city, mm-hmm, because the water. And you can feel this sensation when you walk in Venice. You feel something like soft elasticity. The stone are not so stone. And you have a lot of planes. We have many bridges and a lot of tower. We have the many, many water channel and a lot of shapes. And the orientation is very interesting to stimulate, to see this a lot of these shapes. And every day when I move in my city, I receive from my city this impulse to try to invert the building and move on the facade and dance on the facade of the building. And I think that this is one of my first identity and connection with the dance that is my obsession, is my passion, is my life.
I love that.
That's really cool. You talked a little bit about training already, but can you talk about the different training programs that you've developed?
I have developed training for professional dancers, for my own company first, and for dance students after, in order to grow and develop vertical dance as much as I can. To create a method was a necessity because there are no schools of vertical dance. And when I founded the company Il Posto, my company, and chose my dancers, it was impossible to choreograph without first doing training on the wall.
Can you explain what your vertical suspension training entails?
I created a vertical suspension training. It is a specialized method to train professional dancers that start this technique from the beginning or for dancers who want to improve their skills even further. 8 years ago, I also started a program for high schools in my region. Mm. I was lucky enough to teach vertical dance to hundreds of teenagers with my dancers and started the program that is active in many schools today. VST is my personal method. It is possible to teach vertical dance from an early age. There's 4 stages of progression. Firstly, very close to the ground. Secondly, with the knees bent near the ground. Thirdly, standing close to the wall. The fourth part is on the wall. And then there are many routines related to different skills. For me, it is essential to the conditioning and movement of the body on the wall.
Could someone like me come to Venice and learn this with you?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I have a lot of dancers that every year comes from USA. So you can come too.
All right. You've got 2 new, 2 new students.
Yes, come to Venice. We have a beautiful, beautiful center for vertical dance. Just vertical dance is my dream. So you are welcome.
That's wonderful. We read about this unique program that you created working with the women's prison in Venice, which just sounds incredible. What went into creating that program and how have you seen the women benefit?
I received a request from the regional authority to produce a show with my company at the prison for some years. After that, they asked me to a dance lessons program with the inmates, about 300 hours in 2 years. There are many different ethnic groups in the prison, and they are often separated by these differences. The different groups don't speak much, and there is often confrontation between them. And dancing and movement of the body is a different and shared language, providing a common form of communication. So prisoners from different ethnic groups participated in the dancing activities together, and this was a significant achievement. Dancing was able to bring the different groups together and build a sense of community. This first. Specifically, vertical dance was very confusing for women to move on prison walls. You can imagine.
Did any try to escape?
No. Because they were very angry with the rope. And they laughed a lot and learned quickly.
Sure. It just sounds incredible. And giving a creative outlet to people and women who are stuck in a box that don't have that just sounds like a beautiful opportunity for everyone involved.
Yeah. And the aspect that encourages collaboration and cooperation mm-hmm. is really interesting. The fighting, and then mm-hmm. you can't because right. you'll hurt yourself.
And the dance is a non-verbal language, so it's mm-hmm. good for different groups.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Non-verbal expression is the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been approached for taking this to other prisons?
Yes, I worked in other two prisons. One for the people with
addictions, dependency?
Yes, uh-huh. yes. Young male people. And another in another male prison. But the situation was very difficult because the people from Arabia, they are not so interesting to move the bodies and to listen to the music. Mm. I worked with the percussionists, but they didn't accept any body languages.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting cultural difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you mentioned working with the women's prison and then working with the men's prison, it made me curious, have you seen a big difference in the way that women do vertical dance and the way that men do vertical dance in terms of style?
Yes, it's not properly style, but yes, women normally are more comfortable with the harness for physiological, but at the beginning, the women think that is not properly for women. And the men think that they are very strong, so the harness is properly for men. So it's a system to think.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
And the different genders produce the opposite ideas. So I am a man, so it's good. I am strong. I can put harness and stay strong with my body, walk on the wall, because the effort is necessary to have a very a big force. And the women say, no, it's not for me, it's an equipment. But in the practical situation, you have the opposite. Soon, the women experiment. The men stay a little back.
That makes a lot of sense, and that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see vertical dance going and what are you most excited about?
Vertical dance is no longer avant-garde.
Mm.
And now we find this discipline in many areas, from festivals to corporate events, commercial events, publicities, everywhere, or not enough. The level of technique has become extraordinarily high. So we have to respond with further preparation for the teachers and for creators. It is time to increase the capacity to teach and study vertical dance, as there are currently only 4 universities in the world where you can study this art form. Hmm. 2 of them in the United States, 1 in Ireland, and 1 in UK. Is the only high-level course in the university school.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not enough.
No, yeah. Not at all.
So now it's time to respond with a strong and high preparation.
What do you think the universities would need in order to expand vertical dance into their programs?
Another good question.
Probably money.
Yes.
Always.
Always and first. They have to, the director, the teacher who lead the dance department should know many style and type of dance. Mm-hmm. And realize a specific department for aerial dance, including vertical dance. And in parallel with the other technique, ballet, contemporary, and aerial. I hope that this could be a good starting point. Mm-hmm. There are some beautiful dancers and choreographers that can teach in the university. There are the students. Now it's time to organize the school. Mm-hmm. The high education.
That would be amazing. Switching gears just a little bit, Vanda, do you have a favorite or treasured act that you've created over the years?
I don't have a favorite act. My favorite act is always the last one. Every building reveals something to me about the city and the citizens. Every place tells me something about the past and the present, but also about the contemporary life of the people who live there. Human beings and the environment in which we live are the only real interest that we can have. I hope to be able to bring my vertical dance creations anywhere in the world, to be in contact with people and their walls. Wall of dance, of course. Wall of dance. Only, no borders, just wall for dance.
Love it.
That's beautiful. Is there anything that we didn't ask that you wish we had?
I think that in these years, the vertical dance communities is being more connected. Mm. We have a nice program due to COVID between USA, Canadian, and European countries with vertical dance communities. And what is happening now with COVID bring us and push us to find new relationship. I think that we need to stay close to each other and to provoke new way to create and to learn from each other. This is in my mind, and this is a strong focus.
That's really awesome. This has been a wonderful look into vertical dance.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. And great news, Aerial Evolution will be back for season 2 in April, so stay tuned. And head over to our website, www.aerialevolutionpod, to stay up to date.
And we would love to hear from you. If you have questions or comments about this episode, come and find us on Instagram or Facebook at Aerial Evolution Pod. And both those links will be in the show notes as well. And stay tuned for future episodes with other amazing aerialists. Until next time.